Welcome to Win Tucson. Today's topic is on missing children, and I want to let you know that we're going to devote the whole hour to the case of Alicia Navarro. This case is now, as of today, 3 years old. Alicia Navarro left her home in Glendale by her own will, but we have not heard or seen from her since, and this is a case that has captured national and international attention, and I'm so blessed today to have Alicia's mom, Jessica Nunez, with me in the studio. Jessica and I have known each other now for over 2 years, and we continue to work together each and every day because finding her daughter is the most important thing that there is to do when it comes to this family. Jessica, first of all, thank you so much for being with me today. You have four children, and you have three girls and one boy, and you are a working mom, and your kids were in school, and Alicia had just started a new school. And so tell us about what led up to Alicia's disappearance, and we're going to kind of break this down. So because you had an everyday, normal life.
Expected or never thought that this would happen to me. Pretty much, I woke up one day with a note on the desk saying that she had run away, that she was sorry, and that she swore to be back.
So she left you a note, and in your mind's eye, you think she was just going on an adventure. She was 14, about to turn 15, and she said, "I'll be back." And so you never anticipated that you wouldn't see her. And when this case was called into the police department, they treated it like a runaway, right? As opposed to an abduction or a missing child. And I want to underline that because there's different protocols the police take if someone's a runaway. A lot of times teenage girls will run away, but we'll see them in 2 to 3 days or a week. And so the cases are closed. So a lot of times when a teenage girl goes missing, it's just not a high priority for the police. Was that your experience at the time?
Yes, definitely. It was. I knew since the beginning that something was wrong, knowing my daughter's personality and her diagnoses.
Alicia was autistic. Yeah. And so she was very highly intelligent, but she had friends at school and everything else. But this was atypical of Alicia to just disappear.
Right, that is correct. And I still now can't believe that I'm going through this. And I do feel, and I was told that, you know, that she will be back, and it took a while for law enforcement to actually
Understand that.
Yes,
this was no, you're fine. You're doing
trying to find the correct words for that. And I do feel that way. Even though since the beginning I showed paperwork, I medical diagnosis, and I explained that just her being out there more than 24 hours was a high risk. And I also was able to get a silver alert on my daughter when I was told that was not possible. So, you know, since the beginning, I knew something was wrong.
And so you and I met a year into this case. And at that point, the Glendale PD was not working on the case as well. Not that they gave up, but it wasn't a high priority anymore. And for those that don't know, I specifically work to find missing children and work with law enforcement to bring technology that isn't readily available to departments. So you and I met, and you had hired a private investigator, and we started to look at information, and we reconnected with Glendale PD, and we brought in other resources. And we discovered some things about the night that Alicia went missing, and also that there was information that had been unchecked or not used in a way. And so now we know a little bit more about who Alicia was talking to online that we didn't know when she originally went missing. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. And I do want to thank you, Kathleen, for all that you have done. And I would not be, I would not have all this new information if it wasn't for you that actually came into my life and what you do. So I'm always grateful for that. And
I want to thank you. I want people to understand that when a child goes missing, it isn't just about that child that's missing. It impacts the family in a way that you can't even predict, or it's unprecedented. And I just want to acknowledge you for being so brave and so courageous. And throughout this process, you've helped. We've even worked together to find missing children or to recover children that are being abused. So the result of us knowing each other and working together, why we look for Alicia, is that you've helped so many other families. And it was probably an unintended consequence of your daughter being missing. But I want to acknowledge you for just the incredible courage and fortitude, and how you've been persistent in never giving up. And this has to be the hardest thing a parent can go through. So I just want you to know that you are brave beyond words, and it's inspiration to me. So I'm not going anywhere until we figure this out. But I want parents to understand that you had no idea Alicia was talking to whoever she was talking to online. And you were with her every day. You were taking her to school. So there was no signal. There was no sign. And what would you say to other parents?
I honestly, I never thought I had a reason to monitor my daughter's social media. She was a honor roll student. She never went out with her friends. It was really rare. She actually was receiving services where part of her goal is for her to have outings. We did speak with her, with her therapist regarding the online dangers. We did speak with her regarding gaming. But honestly, I did not know that I had people in my home without them physically being there. I didn't know that there was very bad intentional people out there just waiting for an opportunity to take advantage of somebody who is
was vulnerable.
And I always like to share my story, and I always let the parents know it's part of me now, not to judge me. Yes, there is things that I should have done better, but it is very difficult to monitor 100% your child's media, especially if you see that your child is not rebellious or there's really not a need to. So if it happened to me, it could happen to anyone. And I always tell parents to educate yourself with what's out there. We live in a world where there's all these different applications that I'm still learning every day, that online, they use to lure our children in, that they use for their advantage. And I was not aware of all these applications and what they can or cannot do. I was not educated in that matter. And that's number one advice that I give parents, is to educate yourself of what is out there in social media, what apps your kids have, and to be more aware of what, who they're talking to and what they're doing online, and just having that conversation.
Jessica, When we come back, I want to talk about Alicia was autistic and what vulnerability that created, but also the apps, because parents, new apps are coming out every day, and you have done a great job of discovering the applications that and keeping your younger children from them right now. And I think you have a lot to contribute. We'll be right back on Wynn Tucson. I'm Kathleen Wynn, and I have the very great privilege today of talking to my good friend Jessica Nunez on her missing daughter, Alicia Navarro. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Wynn Tucson. My special guest today is Jessica Nunez. Jessica's daughter, Alicia Navarro, has been missing in Arizona for 3 years as of today. Jessica, first of all, again, thank you so much for being here. There's an app right now that kids are going on that you alerted me to about 3-4 months ago. Can you share what that app is and some of the others that you have a little bit of concern of as a parent? And I think your youngest daughter just recently asked to get on this app.
Yes. I don't know all the apps in right now on hand, but one of them that is very popular is actually Discord. What's wrong with that app is that they use this app as an alternative of communication on the online gaming world. And what is actually alerting is that there is adults as well using this app mixed with children. And, you know, it's not good to have adults mixed with children in gaming and conversations for obvious reasons. And not too long ago, my younger daughter asked for permission if she could actually download the app. And I asked her, why would you want to do that? You know, and she told me, all my friends have this app and that's the form that they are communicating. And keep in mind, we're speaking about a 9-year-old girl. That for me was very, very disturbing that they're actually using this app that's mixed with adults to communicate. And, you know, I did let her know and I re-explained to her about, you know, not having that app. It's just a challenge as a parent that we now face trying to explain to our young children when their friends are doing, you know, and using certain apps and just having them understand. It's a very challenging part as a parent. And that's just one app. There's various apps that do exist that are being used. And again, my concern on those apps is that they're mixed children with adults. And we know that.
So for any listener who understands, you have young children, minor children, children that are not even teenagers. We're talking third graders, fourth graders, because their parents want their children to be social or to have a game that they can play. And what we're finding is that adults go into these games and communicate with children and strike up a conversation. And as a result, we are having contact with adults. Now, you would never allow an adult into your home to play with your child a game, someone you didn't know. But this is what's happening online every day. And exponentially, we're seeing more and more contact with strangers, adults, with our children. Is that what you're understanding also from this?
Yes, definitely. And, you know, as we know, we could be whoever, we could use whatever identity we want in the online. I could be a 10-year-old girl, 9-year-old girl, and there is no way that the other, you know, the other child would know. And just alone me as an adult, I have social media to share awareness of my daughter's image. I alone also, you know, me as a mid-40 woman get, you know, inappropriate messages and a lot of inappropriate
conversations.
I can't even imagine, or minors being on social media, being exposed to all that.
Yes, and I kind of want to transition into that. As your daughter has been missing, you're trying to find her and you have her image out there. And for the most part, people are praying for you and supportive. But every once in a while, we get
really hateful messaging, or we get people that say they've seen your daughter, but they don't provide any proof. And so that's part of the unfortunate dynamic that exists when you're looking for a missing child. And as you just pointed out, then you have inappropriate from adults talking to you. So you have the strain of and the ongoing loss of your daughter because she's not there with you in your home. And then you're dealing with outside people. And I don't think people understand just how difficult every day you wake up. And I have to imagine that Alicia is your first thought in the morning and your last thought at night when you go to bed. You've been consistent. You've been out there. And how do you keep going? How do you keep doing what you do? You've showed incredible strength. So finding your daughter, I know, is your number one priority. But how do you deal with some of the complexities that have come with this? And I think you've done a great job, by the way.
Thank you, Kathleen. Well, first of all, I am a believer of God, so I do have my faith. And that keeps me going. Second, I do have my family, my children that need me. And third is the community. I have received a lot of support, and I met great people. And now all this has been a part of my life. I can't turn away not seeing and knowing and having. Just alone today, a parent called me from Globe, Arizona, that her daughter, her 15-year-old daughter, left her home 4 days ago, and you know, they don't know what else to do. And it's just it's just something that it has become part of me, and just my passion and my love that I have for my daughter, and not giving up, because she made a promise to me that I know that her intentions were to come back, and I'm waiting for her to fulfill that promise and for her to be found.
And I want everyone to know that you're doing everything humanly possible. You have good people around you. You have resources. There's technologies that have been brought. The FBI is now reengaged in your case. There's a lot of things that you have done that someone who has a lost child could learn from. You have done incredible work. You have billboards and you have posters and you have Alicia's picture age progressed. You have, I know we've done out, you know, community awareness, and we've had media, and unfortunately today, the 15th, will be a day where they'll tell the story again. And we were hoping we didn't have this anniversary because Alicia would be back in your home. So as each of these anniversaries come, it's difficult. I know it's so difficult for you and your family. And I didn't want the story to go away, though, because I want people to keep looking for Alicia, but also know that what's happened to your family could be any family. Unfortunately, in Arizona in the last year, missing children have doubled. So we've gone from 800 missing children to over 1,600 missing children. Disproportionately, if 10 children go missing, 6 to 7 of them will be black or brown. And so our minority children are being targeted. And that is a disturbing trend. And what I see you doing is, no matter what is going on, you have stayed laser focused and kept gently reminding the community that your daughter, who by all means was just a normal 14-year-old girl attending high school, is not where she should be right now. I want to share a story that you and I share. About a week before the primary election, you got a call about a little 10-year-old girl from Mexico who was here in the country illegally but being abused. And you called, and you we got a hold of the El Mirage Police Department. Do you want to tell everyone about that story? Because these are some of the successes you've had because of the situation that you currently find, you know, that we're dealing with right now.
Yes, there was a someone reached out to me via social media and said that she didn't know what to do, that she was afraid to call the police because this little girl was not in the country legally, and that she was being abused by her sister's husband, and that she was bruised, and she was doing a church community like outreach voluntary work. And I personally, I just contact your other resources, because I'm just a mother of a missing daughter, you know, sharing awareness and trying to find my daughter. So I advised her to call the local police department, that's the best bet to do, and not to be afraid, and they will give her the resources needed.
We'll be right back on Wynn Tucson. I'm Kathleen Wynn, and I have the very great privilege today of talking to my good friend Jessica Nunez on her missing daughter, Alicia Navarro. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Wynn Tucson. My special guest today is Jessica Nunez. Jessica's daughter, Alicia Navarro, has been missing in Arizona for 3 years as of today. Jessica, first of all, again, thank you so much for being here.
One example, and unfortunately I have, you know, different messages of really disturbing things that they tell me that their children were exposed to or whatnot.
And I know that as a parent of a missing child, you don't want to think about any of that. But I know the other side of you is you are doing everything you can to protect other families from experiencing what you've experienced.
Well, I don't want anybody to go through what I'm going through. I never thought I was going to be in this situation, and I'm living my worst nightmare. I mean, for me, my children are my number one priority. I had my daughter in paid school. I never imagined being in this situation, and just being in this situation and meeting other parents. Like, and yesterday I had an event that I went to.
Yes.
And just them sharing their story. It's something that I don't wish upon anybody. So, I mean, I can't change the world, but if I have somebody, just one person, you know, that will monitor their kids' social media and make a difference, that matters to me.
How do you deal with raising your other children while this is going on? I think you've, again, done a great job of that. I'm always seeing events and things that you're doing, but it's got to be hard. So how do you not let your situation impact the raising of Alicia's younger brother and sister?
It is very hard because you go through some kind, you know, you're like traumatized. You go to events and you just don't want to leave your children out of sight. It is very hard, but I am actually thankful that I've learned, and I'm thankful that I'm learning actually more and more about how to be able to protect them for I won't, you know, it's not for me not to go through what I'm going through again, what I didn't know before, if that made sense. I'm sorry.
No, it takes
it's
total
sense.
No,
my mind sometimes doesn't.
No, you're doing great, and you are doing wonderful. I know how hard it is when, as a parent, when you have a crisis with one child, and it invariably affects the rest of the family. There's just no getting around that. Mm-hmm. And your attention is drawn to the one situation, but yet you have other children to care for. And so there was a time when one of my children was abducted, and he was only gone for 3 weeks, and I knew who had taken him. But it impacted his sisters. And by the grace of God, my son was returned, but I have never forgotten what that felt like.
Yeah.
And so every time I get a call from a parent whose child has gone missing, I invariably can relate instantly, know the fear that that is, know the trauma. And you and I together have mm-hmm. there's been, I would say, at least 10 kids, 15 kids over the several years that we've known each other that we have learned about, and they've been returned. And sometimes we had a big part of it, sometimes a little part of it. But it's mm-hmm. using what's happened to make a positive impact. And that's what I see you doing. And it's not easy. And this 3-year marking of Alicia being gone, in a few days after that, she will be turning 18 years old. And her 18th birthday will be coming. And I know each of these milestones, if you will, or these dates, hold a lot of significance yeah. for you. And you have been a blessing in my life because you keep me going. This is important that we find her. It's important that you devote your life to helping other parents who have missing children.
Yeah.
I think that's courageous and brave. And I'm always humbled by what you do.
Thank you, Kathy.
And I just wish this wasn't, you know, mm-hmm. an anniversary that we needed to acknowledge. One of the things I would love for you to tell everyone about is you have had some national media, some other people reach out. Is there going to be a show coming out about this? And you've been very generous and kind with your time. So can you tell everyone so that they can see other ways that this story is being told?
Yes, I actually, since my daughter went missing, I have been very fortunate that media has been involved since the beginning. And my daughter's story has been featured in national and international. Some examples are some famous podcasts, which is, you know, Crime Junkies, Voice of Justice, and Kendall Ray, which is a famous YouTuber. And I also have been in Tamron Hall, Good Morning America. Since I am Hispanic and bilingual, I actually also have had the Hispanic or Spanish speakers media as well. Which is, you know, famous shows like Primer Impacto. So those are just some examples. And I'm hoping that with this 3-year anniversary that I'm still able to share more awareness of her.
Parents out there want to do a good job parenting. I think when something like this happens, I know as a mom and you as a mom, we always kind of get blamed for everything, right? That we should have known better, we should have been smarter. And what, when parents call you, is and you get a lot of calls from parents who are concerned that their children may be getting groomed or maybe are already missing, and you are just another parent who has a child who's missing, but you have developed a lot of skills in terms of helping other parents, whether it's sending them to law enforcement or it's giving them advice. Or did you ever imagine yourself in that role or that position? And do you notice if it's more Hispanic or white or Native or Black? I mean, is there a certain kind of parent that is calling you and saying, this is happening?
No, I didn't even, when I saw a missing poster, I didn't even really think about being in that situation. I'm sad to say that I honestly didn't even really share that poster. I didn't look more into that case or see what way I could help that family, because I also thought that that will never happen to me. And here I am. It's still hard to believe. I don't consider myself a perfect parent, but I've always have done whatever I can. And, you know, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't. So I would never imagine being in this situation. And just, I never thought that there are people like that in this world. Maybe you might call me naive, or I just honestly never thought that there is people on social media knowing that they're speaking with a minor, didn't care, and they pursue that conversation. And yes, maybe my daughter should have known better or whatnot, but I'm not here to blame no one. And if you're in this situation, I tell you it's not your fault. And do not let anybody think that it's your fault. There's lots of parents that, you know, don't know. And that's what I want to be here, is I want to share my voice, that I wish someone would have shared this with me. I wish I would have heard someone tell me, you know, this happened, there's social media. None of that was never shared to me. And I just want to share it to see if it gets to the right person. And,
you know, I think that the point that you're making is one that we have heard over and over again. A young girl, typically 80%, meets a young male online. They believe that this person is a romantic interest, usually someone that cares about them, or at least cares about their concerns. As we know, young people's brains are not fully formed till they're 25, so they're making emotional decisions, not intellectual decisions. And so over and over and over again, we see young people, unfortunately, like Alicia, who made a decision to go meet somebody that evening that we've now learned. And she probably thought it was just going to be a friendship or someone she'd been talking to online for quite some time. And she trusted this person. So they don't consider that an abduction. It's treated like a runaway. But in fact, she really didn't know this person. She didn't know who this person was. She didn't know what their motives were or what they planned to do. And so I think that we have a lot of young people who assume, because they've seen a picture or they're having a conversation with someone, that they really know the person on the other end of the line, and they don't. And that's when we have what people will call runaways, but they really are abductions. We'll be right back after this break. And my very, very special guest today is Jessica Nunez, mother to Alicia Navarro, who's been missing for 3 years. Thank you. Welcome back to Win Tucson. I'm Kathleen Wynn, and Win Tucson is a show where we talk issues, not politics. Today, my very special guest is Jessica Nunez. Jessica Nunez is an advocate for missing children and is still looking for her own daughter, Alicia Navarro, missing 3 years today. And abductions used to be just about 7%, but in the last few years, in the last 2 years, we've seen abductions increase dramatically in this country. So we're seeing that. When Alicia went missing 3 years ago, it was more rare what happened. So it wasn't that it was happening everywhere and you missed it. It really wasn't happening yet. But unfortunately, we're seeing more and more of that. And you've been to Mexico, or you've posted this in Mexico. Is there a belief that maybe Alicia might not be in this country, but be south of the border?
I mean, it is a possibility. We are in a border, you know, border town state, and I've went to the consul of Mexico. I put billboards in Mexico for almost a year in popular tourist places, and I now have a friend who is also helping me share posters and also shares awareness of people are missing in Mexico. So they are aware of my daughter, and I've done whatever I can in our neighborhood, in our neighbor Mexico border towns, and having them knowing they're aware of Alicia. And it's a possibility. Now, unfortunately, they don't, I mean, when I go to Mexico, which is limited time, they don't even investigate who you are. Anybody could cross. So, you know, it is a big possibility.
So NCMEC has, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, has done an age progression. So the photo that is out there right now is you have one from when she went missing, but you also have, yes, an age progression photo.
Yes.
And they're using that in America and in,
yes,
Mexico.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And it's believed to be fairly accurate. And
yeah, it's just seeing that at first, I was in shock, but I mean, they used her father's picture and my picture when it was around her age. So they're professionals. They know what they're doing. And I mean, that age difference, 3 years can, you know, make a big difference.
Yeah, because she looked very, very, very young when she was 14. And those 3 years are very big years in a child's life. And
right.
And I've seen the picture, and she was beautiful at 14. And the picture now, it's a beautiful picture. And hopefully that gets us where we need to go, that we can get her back home. We're going to come back for one more segment. I want to thank you again for taking the time on this day to be with me. And I know that there's a lot of people working on this case that are just unwilling to stop, that there's a team of people that have come together to support you and support your family, and they're continuing to investigate. And this is one of those cases that we're committed to solving for you, for your family, for Alicia. Jessica, there is so much that changes in a family when you have a tragedy and you have trauma like this. You have family here in Tucson. Alicia's grandmother lives here, her uncle. How has that affected the outside family? How is that? You have a sister, I think she now lives on the East Coast. So how does that, your siblings, your mom, other extended family, how has that impacted them? And how do they support you? And what does that look like right now with your family?
Well, it changed all of us. I just want to share with the audience that always show appreciation to the ones you loved, because, you know, things happen so quickly that I wish I had another moment with my daughter. And I'm hoping that I do. Just hug your family and tell them that you love them, because it's really hard not knowing, like me not knowing if my daughter is okay, where she's at, is she being taken care of, if she being abused. It's a very difficult situation. So just, you know, and it has affected her family a lot. Fortunately, I don't have local family, so it's very difficult for me. Again, it's something that I can't really describe in words, but it definitely changes in a good and a bad way.
I think what I'm hearing you say is that you appreciate what you do have, and
yes,
that you actually, despite the tragedy that this is, you have greater appreciation for the,
yeah,
things that are good. That in one sense, a loss, not that Alicia is gone forever, but she's not with us right now and she's not at your home, has made you appreciate everything,
yes,
else that you have. And I've seen that in how you interact with your younger children, your older daughter. I think you've almost, and sometimes you have to be dealing with this, but in other times I see you just pouring yourself into them so that you can maintain that relationship. This has to be so difficult, because this now defines the family, and it's always the thing that is a mark in time. And so I think it's important that people understand how how the prevention part has become such an important part of your mission to prevent other families from having to go through what you're currently going through. I think we can warn people, know where your children are on social media, know that there's predators, know trends that are happening. Whereas there's lots of people coming into the country, there's nothing to really stop if people want to take people out of this country either, and to be aware of that. I think that you have shown incredible grace under pressure, and that so many people know you. You go places, you've told me this in other parts, and they recognize you because of your story, which tells me you as a mother have done everything you can to get out Alicia's story. Because I think it's never been about you. It's always been about Alicia and letting people know who Alicia is, why we want her home. She said she wanted to come home, and why this is so important. And that the story of missing children, that it's not something that we want to continue. We want people to understand that this is preventable, but there are certain steps you have to take. Are there any other warning signs that you want to mention to the audience, that anything else, or things in hindsight, maybe you didn't see them at the time, but now have learned, because I'm sure you've gone back and relived the days and the weeks leading up to that. So is there anything now that stands out that you wish you had acted on or not?
Yes.
Yes.
I noticed my daughter being more tired than usual in the mornings. And that was because she was mostly having communication at night. I also noticed a change of interest in music. She liked Pink Floyd, and she's 14 years old. Not that a 14-year-old shouldn't like Pink Floyd, but it was a big shift for her.
Right.
So it's just little, trying to be more private,
more secretive.
More secretive. Thank you, Kathleen. You always know what I'm trying to communicate. So, I mean, those are the main things that I felt to notice my daughter, that I noticed, but I didn't think too much of it.
So change in attitude. Teenage girls are kind of complex anyway.
That's what I thought. Since she was starting high school,
you thought these were personality changes, but in fact, they were actually her adjusting to who was on the other end of the end of the line.
And it's always been my goal for my daughter not to be forgotten. I mean, that has been my constant goal, is for her image not to be forgotten, to remind the community that she's still out there, because in my heart, I do believe my daughter is still out there. And it only takes one person to know something or say something. And like you mentioned before, I know there's a big team, including yourself, that are doing everything in their power to be able to bring my daughter home.
I, again, want to tell you that you being here today is really a gift to anybody listening. It takes incredible generosity to share this story. I so want Alicia to come home to you. I think about it every day also, a different way to figure out how we can support you. And I want to thank you again for being here, for being on Win Tucson, for coming to Tucson to do that, and for your tireless efforts to let other parents know you are a gift, and you are a gift in my life, and I am grateful. And I just want to thank you, Jessica Nunez, for being the mom and the advocate and the person that you are. And thank you for being on Win Tucson today, and for being in our community, and for protecting children, because ultimately you are saving lives, and lives that we don't even know that we're saving. I want to thank everyone for listening today to Win Tucson. It's important that we speak up and that we bring solutions to everyday concerns. And Win Tucson is brought to you each week, Monday through Friday. I, Kathleen Wynn,